Listen to every episode of Stokely and Zach on demand at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business. So should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Nick Ferguson stops by with Stokely and myself.
Oh, man.
This Sunday against the Bears, you were saying you feel confident. Joe Flacco is a better quarterback than Nick Mullins. You saw Nick Mullins move the football against this defense a year ago in a 14-9 loss to the Bears, right?
Yes.
Where was that game?
In Santa Clara.
Okay. So where are you at with this football team? You were more optimistic than anyone in town, maybe fans included. Right there, right at the top. I believe this team can be 12-4 after what you saw this past weekend. Where are you at with the Broncos?
I'm still optimistic. I mean, I know Stokely is trying to get me to annul and divorce my whole prediction, but just put an M on my chest and just call me Mr. Optimistic. I'm going to remain. Yes, Mister.
For Mister.
Yes, for okay. Mister. If you're going to say it, you got to start it the right way.
I was wondering what the M was for.
Yeah,
for the Mister.
Mister.
Where does optimistic go? On the? Can you put an O on the back of the shirt?
No, you don't need that.
Oh, you don't.
You just need the M.
Okay.
You know, it's Superman.
Gotcha. But it's number 12 on the back. 12-4.
Okay, we could actually do that. We could put that on the cape. But yeah, I'm really optimistic in this team, and a lot of things that we saw against the Raiders on Monday night would have us to believe that this team doesn't have the ability to compete in this league. And if they clear up some of their penalties, now that would have changed the outcome in the Oakland Raiders game. So for me, offensively, I was optimistic. They ran the ball in the second half. That first drive coming out of halftime, I mean, to me, that was the best that we've seen of the Broncos offense.
I agree.
All preseason long.
I agree.
So that said to me right then that they have the capabilities of putting a balanced attack together. And granted, the Chicago Bears team, very talented on all three levels.
And that's what I want to just ask you real quick. Don't mean to cut you off, but the Bears defense is a little bit better than the Raiders defense.
No, absolutely.
And Juwan James is hurt. He's not going to play, so we got a backup right tackle. Mark Schlereth just wants to get rid of Garrett Bowles. He said that's how bad he played last week. And you're going up against this defense this week.
But here's what you have to do. You're an offensive guy, right? So if you know what your weaknesses are, right, you have to play to your strengths. So the idea is that you know you can have some issues with on the tackles no matter who's out there, Elijah Wilkerson or if it's GB. So you have to sit Flacco in the shotgun, and you have to create levels in the offense, put a guy maybe short, intermediate, and deep, so now he's in direct line of sight so he can get the ball out of his hands. Don't run any of those kind of gimmick plays. You know, try to stay out of third and long. That means you have to make positive plays on first and second down.
And if you're in third and long, I'm running screens or draws. I'm not holding the football and trying to get that first down by waiting on plays to develop. Not at all. Not this week.
Now also, the Bears, very talented, as though we all agree. They are fast-flowing and they're very physical. You can use their strength against them. That's why when Scangarello starts to implement the running game, don't abandon it, even if you're only averaging 1.5 yards a carry, because eventually something is going to pop.
And we saw that in the third quarter. And that
exactly.
One drive in the first half, we got to remember, in the first quarter, the Broncos had one total rushing yard. But you look at that drive to start the third quarter, that for me, and please jump in if there's another one that sticks out, off the top of my mind, that's the only series in the football game this past week where the Broncos controlled the line of scrimmage.
Right.
That initial drive to start the third.
And that's what you have to look at. I know there's so many negative things that we could point at, but trying to find the positive things could appear to be like a needle in a haystack, but they are positives that you can build on, you can stack on. And when even if you're only averaging 1.5 to 2.5 yards a carry, now you start to get those linebackers biting up. Now those plays outside across the middle to Noah Fant, those plays are now available for you. And since, I mean, for me, watching the game, I seen Kyle Fuller and Prince Amukamara come down fast flowing run games and even jumping on out routes. You would appreciate this. Now you set them up, right? You run out routes, even if you don't complete it. Now the out and ups are there. And Clint Ha-Ha Diggs and Eddie Jackson, right? Two good safeties that work well with this defense, but you can beat them over the top because on third down, they like to run what I call alert or robber coverage. They look like they're going to give you a cover two shell, and then they drop in late, meaning you have one safety deep. And I've seen some of those safeties sitting flat-footed, right? You can go over top.
Got to have time, though. That's the thing. You got to have time.
You have to have time.
You got to protect. You got to go out there and execute a little bit better than they did last week. And I think the big picture here is it was one game, first game of the year, and I think a lot of people's expectations for this football team were a little bit too high, or especially this offense. And they were just a little bit off. Now you're playing at home. It's a totally different ballgame. You're playing against a much better football team, especially defensively. So you're going to have to play better. But it wasn't like the Bears went out there and whipped anybody last week. They scored 3 points offensively. Your defense is going to have to step up for the Broncos and play a great game. But, you know, I don't want the narrative to be, and I was a guy that said 6-10 on the season, but I don't want the narrative after one game to be, you know, negative. This football team ain't going to win 3 or 4 games this year. They stink because, you know, it's just one game. One game, big sample size, left to play, a lot of football left, and let's not, you know, write the final chapter here after 1 week.
And you just referenced the Bears from a week ago, Stoke. You know how many rushing yards the Chicago Bears had this past week in a one-score game through the whole football game?
45?
46.
Okay, I was off.
46 rushing yards.
And I guess.
46 rushing yards for an NFL team over the course of a one-score, 60-minute football game. I mean, I know we have our issues too, but they're in Chicago right now talking about their offensive issues.
What is Matt Nagy doing? Why is he sticking with the run? You know, putting too much on Mitchell Trubisky's plate. I mean, he's still a young quarterback and, you know, so I guarantee you that's all they're talking about over there. And if you're the Broncos defense, I mean, you got to look at this as a great opportunity to get back on track.
You said something earlier about the expectations for the offense. The expectations for the offense coming into the season, those expectations were very low. The bar was very low. I mean, we expected much more out of the defense. And I think that's why most people are overreacting the way that they are, because our defense did not go out and dominate a game that they should have dominated because there was no AB. So when I go back to my Mr. M on my chest, Mr. Optimism, I look at that same fact. Our offense played better, much better in the second half, and our defense didn't show up and live up to the expectations. So if our defense can live up to half, maybe 60%, 65% of the expectations, and our offense can play like they did on that first opening drive in the third quarter, anything is possible. So you just can't bail on your 12-4. If you had them at 10-6, don't just bail. Don't be one of those individuals that are now deciding to jump out of the plane with no parachute.
10-6 is a lot different than 12-4, Nicholas. Nicholas,
I mean. Well, hold on, man. You can't use my whole gun.
Whenever I get real serious with you, I got it like I'd say my son, Owen Jason.
Zachary David.
Hand me that remote control. Okay.
Nicholas Timothy.
What's your middle name?
Timothy. Wow.
What's your middle name?
My name is Alexander.
Nicholas Alexander.
Yes.
That will come back up.
Good stuff.
Nick Ferguson, great stuff. And hopefully when you're in here with us next week, this conversation has a renewed spirit to it.
I'm hoping.
It's week to week, man. NFL's week to week. One week you look bad, next week you look good. You're playing at home. It's different circumstances. So hopefully, Nick, we're talking about you're back on track for your 12-4.
We got to get this W, man.
That's it.
Nick, have a good day.
Oh, I appreciate it.
All right, there he goes, Nick Ferguson. All right, Stoke, I have two Bronco names in front of me. Who needs the bigger bounce back week? I'll hit you with the names next. I have two Bronco names in front of me who both need a big bounce back week after what we saw on Monday Night Football against the Oakland Raiders. If you could choose one, now look, to beat the Bears, we're going to need them both to play much better. But if you could choose one to bounce back in a big way, who needs it more? Noah Fant or Isaac Yiadom?
Ooh. Did Noah Fant have a drop? I don't remember a drop from him.
No drop.
Had a penalty, a couple penalties?
Yep, a holding and a block in the back.
he did have a nice third down. So, I mean, I'm not saying Noah Fant had a bad first game. Are you saying, did he have a bad first game? It was below average?
It was below average, for sure.
Isaac Yiadom got picked on. Well, are we counting on Isaac Yiadom this week, or are we counting on Bryce Callahan?
No, we're counting on Isaac Yiadom.
Okay, he's going to be the starter. That's our mindset right now. And who do I want to have more of a bounce back? Isaac Yiadom. We need the defense to play great. We need him to step up. And because where are they going to throw the football?
Probably right at Yiadom.
I mean, where would you throw it?
Not at Chris Harris Jr.
Right. We got Chris Harris Jr. over here. We got Isaac Yiadom over there. Oh, let's go after that second-year player that struggled in week one. So if I had to pick out of the two, I'm saying give me Isaac Yiadom for a much better bounce-back game than what we saw the week before where he got picked on. And some of them he had decent coverage and they made plays on him.
I know. No, you're right.
I'm not giving him a pass, but
he was, but that's kind of, if you remember, who he was last year, too, a little
right,
bit. Where he's right there in perfect
close.
Coverage. And Vic said, I believe it was Vic, who said a couple hours ago, that, look, he's right there. He just needs to break some of those up. He said at some point he's going to have to break those passes up when talking about Isaac Yiadom. And it's true because in the NFL, you can do 90% of the work, but if they are executing at a high level the way that Oakland was, and I think it was Ed Donatell when asked about Yiadom too,
yep.
he said, look, like a couple of those were spot on plays by the
right.
Raiders. So it's like, But still, you're out there for a reason. You got drafted in the third round for a reason. You're not a rookie. We need you. 92% isn't good enough
right.
against a high offense that's executed.
Right. I mean, look, he's still a young football player also, though. Let's not forget that. So it's not like he's getting beat all over the place. He's close, and it is a new defensive scheme. For him also, so he's learning some stuff. Guys around him are learning some stuff, and I saw him once or twice get up and expecting help in certain areas that wasn't there. So was that on him or was that on, Von Miller when he was dropping back in coverage on third down? And they hit the drag route where Yiadom's right behind the guy, and he gets up and he kind of looks around like, hey, I thought somebody was supposed to be over here helping me out, and nobody was there. So was that on Von or was that on Isaac? I don't know. But certainly he needs to play better. He needs to start defending some of those passes, right? Not
yeah.
just be in good position. He's got to start knocking some of those plays down and making some plays.
He's
but
right
obviously
there.
He's close.
Like you said, he's not getting roasted like he's 7 yards away because he just can't hold his own. That's not who he is. But still, good enough.
Take the next step. But also, look. And I don't want to sit there and be the Isaac Yiadom apologist here or excuse maker. We can't forget he's a young football player.
Sure.
He didn't play a ton last year.
He did
he
not.
He got hurt, had dealing with the shoulder or whatever. And so this year, he's a second-year player, played in week one. And, he's going to get picked on a lot. He is. Teams are going to target Isaac Yiadom. He's got to play better. But I'm not ready to say that this guy can't play at this level.
I think he has a bounce-back week.
I'm hoping he does.
I believe in Isaac Yiadom.
You know what? I'm with you. I do too.
I heard Ed Donatell say, this is a tough-minded kid. He said he's going to respond in a strong way. He said it's still so early. Some of that is coach speak, but I believe in what Ed Donatell was saying. And Chris Harris said, they asked Chris Harris Jr., they said, what advice, would you give Yiadom? And he said, look, if you're in the NFL long enough, you're going to get beat. You're going to get beat. If you're a corner in the NFL, you're going to get beat. It's just a matter of how much. And it reminds me of playing hoops coming up. If you're going to play at a high level, you're going to get dunked on.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to get dunked on. If you're challenging the play, you're going to get dunked on. Isaac Yiadom is in this position right now. He's going to get beat, but at the same time, he's out there for a reason. It's a results-based business. We need better starting in 3 days.
Yep. That's what it is. It's a result-based business, and you got to go out there and get the job done. Because guess what? If he doesn't, just like Deshaun Hamilton, same thing. He's got to get the job done. If not, look, it's River Craycraft. It's Juwan Winfrey. Next man up. It's Bosby. It's the guy they just traded for the Patriots.
Duke Dawson.
I mean, they'll all get opportunities coming up here if Isaac Yiannam doesn't take advantage of his opportunities and start making plays. It's not good enough just to be, you know, as a receiver, just to be open. Like, oh, I got open, but then I dropped the ball. Oh, I had good coverage, but the guy caught it. No, you got to start defending those passes and knocking those things down or making some plays. And so that's the next step for him. And at some point, he's going to have to do it, or it's going to be next man up.
Right. And with this league, if he can't get it done this weekend, it's going to be getting late early for him.
That's right.
So that's just the reality of his situation.
You haven't played, after this week, you haven't played two high-powered offenses, so let's not forget that. Now, Derek Carr was good. He was nice, but that's not a high-powered offense over there. And this isn't this week either.
And you know who's waiting in week three?
I'm just focused right now, but I think it's relax, Mr. Aaron Rodgers.
That's exactly right.
I'm just focused on Chicago. Okay, that's my mindset.
Were you on to Cincinnati just there?
Might be focused on them also.
There is a host on this radio station that says John Elway needs to act and act right now when it comes to one specific move that needs to be made. We'll get to it next.
All right, Mark, you have the hot tease. There's a trade you think the Broncos should make immediately. Who is it?
Trent Williams, offensive tackle. He's out there, disgruntled with the Washington Redskins. Immediately, solidify your offensive line. Go out there, get a left tackle who can play, and it's time. That right there is hindering you from being so much more explosive than you are right now. If your mark is truly to compete for the playoffs, that move right there helps you get that done. And how much did you just clear up? Now, Trent is one of the outstanding offensive linemen.
Yeah, he's holding out because he wants to get paid. So you make a trade like that, it's with the understanding you're going to have to pay him. And you just paid your right tackle, who, by the way, lasted all of about 10 plays before he got hurt. Mm-hmm. You made him for a short time the highest paid right tackle in all of football. This guy's looking to be one of the highest, if not highest paid, left tackle in all of football. You're going to have to do that. You're going to have to give up draft capital. And, oh, by the way, in the process, you're going to have to come out and finally admit that you blew it with 72. Really think this organization's going to do all of that?
72 cannot play. End of story. I'm done. O-line Jesus couldn't fix him.
Wow. That was the voice of Mark Schlereth this morning, who took a deep dive into Broncos Raiders Monday Night Football tape, and he is convinced that Garrett Bowles has crossed through the threshold of not being serviceable. Cecil Lammy of 1043thefan.com joins us here on Stokely and Zach. What do you guys think? Stoke, Cease, of the conversation that Stakes
is drumming up? Trade for Trent Williams. No, I mean, what are we going to give up? I mean, we're building for the future. I mean, right now we're not a playoff team, Mark. They're not making the playoffs this year. So do I want to trade for this guy that's, 31 this year, and have to pay him?
You have to pay him.
He's going to pay him the highest paid money.
Left tackle.
And you're going to have to give up draft capital.
A first and a third was the premise of the combo.
No, thank you. No, thank you. Just going to roll with what we got and, I say no to it.
And Cease, before you get tagged in here, I just want to be fair to Mike. His side of it was, that look, you haven't been able to figure this position out for years. You have a serious checkered draft history. If you can solve the left tackle issue with Trent Williams, who's still very much in his prime, and you can still get 4 or 5 years left of prime from Trent Williams instead of picking guys like DeMarcus Walker or Robert Ayers-Shane Ray, whoever.
Brendan Langley,
Bradley Roby, then let's go with the sure thing. What was your thoughts on that conversation, Cease?
Yeah, and you tagged me in. I'm coming in with the steel chair for Stokes. Sorry, Stokes, because you got to. You got to get Trent Williams. Now, I know that Bruce Allen is swearing that he's not going to be traded. That's fine. There's a tipping point for everything. And what draft capital? Like, you've been good with it? Last couple of drafts have been better, obviously. But Ryan Ramczyk is the best tackle in the league. And y'all passed on him for 72. And we've seen enough. Like, everyone will say, like, oh, Bowles didn't have a penalty. It was a good game. No, it wasn't. It just wasn't. And it's early in the season. Are you going to talk about it or are you going to be about it? Because Elway always says, win now, win now, win now. If that's the case, you will pick up the phone. You will call Bruce Allen. Help, give him Bowles, too. Bowles in the first and third.
They're not going to want Bowles. Like, they're going to say, no, thank you.
Well, they've got Case Keenum. So, and by the way, their offensive line didn't play bad without Trent Williams and protected Case Keenum, career high in passing yards week one. But either way, fix the issue. Solve the problem. It's been that way for years. You haven't addressed it. You won't address it until 72's out of there, so address it.
Here's my other point here. Broncos could be picking really, really high in this year's draft. Really high.
Really high.
Really, really high.
Really, really high.
Yeah, so it could be...
We talking like
fifth 10th? Overall pick?
Fifth overall. Fifth.
He jumped to five like that.
Wow. So we're talking 5 and 11, they could be.
We're talking Dolphins, I mean, one, Broncos two?
No, I said fifth. I didn't say two.
Broncos, Cardinals.
No, Cardinals, Dolphins. Then, you know, Broncos area. You could be in that situation this year. So do you want to give up that type of premium pick for an aging left tackle that doesn't ever seem like he's happy? And that you're going to have to just pay all this money to. Now, look, if you're picking at the end of the first round, go ahead. But this could be a premium pick. And this is your lifeblood of your football team. And to pay a left tackle at the age that he is, to me, says win now. And this is not a win now team. It's in a rebuild
then
mode.
Then why do they tell us when now?
Well, see, so they're always going to tell you when. You don't believe everything they say, do you? I mean, that's what they're going to tell us. They're going to tell us they're trying to win
then
now.
Then you wasted this defense, and you wasted Von Miller in his prime. You're wasting things away. Von Miller should have been in another Super Bowl by now.
The roster. What does the roster tell you, Cecil? So does the roster
the
tell
roster
you when now?
The roster tells me they're barely making the playoffs if they even entertain. I said 8-8 from March. I've said 8-8.
Well, 8-8's not making the playoffs.
Well.
So I don't think it's a playoff team. I don't think it's a win now team. This is a win in 2 or 3 years down the road team. And I think continue to build through the draft.
Who's going to be your left tackle 2 and 3 years down the road?
I'm not really concerned with that right now because
maybe
I'm not.
Maybe ought to be.
Well, but I'm not giving up a premium pick to get that guy. So that would have been like a couple years ago giving up Bradley Chubb for an aging tackle and you're still losing football games. And now you're sitting here like, we're still losing games. And remember that number 4 overall pick or number 6 overall pick that we had? We gave that away. And with this aging left tackle, he's not aging, he's 31 or whatever.
Yeah, he's 31.
With this guy that's getting older that we paid $100 million to, we're still losing football games. We would have been much better rebuilding through the draft than giving up these kind of picks for a left tackle that's hasn't really turned this football team into a winner.
How do teams turn it around? They turn it around with the trenches, right? And we can be optimistic about this defensive line. Even the young guys, even the guy that didn't even play, Draymond Jones, we can be optimistic about the future of this defensive line. We can't really be about the offensive line. Not at all. Juwan James was hurt in Miami, and he's hurt now after 10 snaps. This is what you get. Connor McGovern is a replacement-level center. Dalton Reisner, we can be excited about. But imagine if you had Reisner and Ramczyk on this team. I'm just saying fix the issue. Fix it however you have to. If that means trading for Trent Williams, and NBA it up, right? I'll get a basketball reference in for you, Zach. Make it so that, well, if it's a top 10 pick, then you don't get it. You'll get something else.
They're not going to do that. No, yeah, they're not doing protected picks here. No, you either give it to us or you don't, or you're
then
not getting Trent
Williams.
Roll
the dice and hope that Trent Williams opens up your offense so much that you are picking in the 20s instead of picking in the top 5? 5, Stoke.
No, I'm not going there with Stoke on that one. I'm not predicting that,
but we've seen stranger things happen where all of a sudden you get a couple more injuries and the season is tanking and you're just a bad football team. And say it's not number 5. I was just throwing that out there. Say it's 7 or 8. I still don't want to give up that pick. You can get some great players, young players that you got under good contracts in their prime.
Where's the tipping point then? Is it 12? Is it 15? Because you know what? If you're going to draft 15 and you can add Trent Williams, you're not going to draft a 15 anymore.
I just don't like the idea of a football team that's not a ready-to-win football team, that's not a playoff-slash-Super Bowl team making these types of trades where you're mortgaging the future of your team. And the draft picks are your future. So you're mortgaging the future, and you're still going to lose with Trent Williams. You're still not going to the Super Bowl. You're not going to the playoffs. Not this year. It's not happening. So,
you're mortgaging a future that doesn't include John Elway. I mean, if we talk about the gorilla in the room, elephant in the room, I always get mixed up whichever one it is. Like, how long does John Elway want to do this? Right? His contract's got what? 3 years left? 2 years left? Whatever it is. 2021?
Yeah.
Yeah. So through 2021. So, ooh, Elway's mortgage in the future when he won't be here. He wants to win now. He's the most competitive. You know the guy.
But you can still win now. You can still win now with, say, Bradley Chubb. You know, I mean, he still had a good rookie. Like, if you're picking high, those guys are plug-and-play guys, and hopefully they should be impact players right away. So
if you're picking
him
high
them.
In this draft, and I haven't broke down the entire class of everything, Stoke, and I'm sorry to cut you off, brother. You're picking a quarterback. If you're picking the top five, his name better be Tua. His name better be Herbert. His name better be Fromm. I know the Utah State kid's getting some pub, too. Like, when we get to that point, if it truly is that premium of a pick – I don't care if you got Drew Lock in the second round. We all like Drew Lock. But if you have a chance at one of those guys, you go get one of those guys.
Because you know the Cardinals aren't picking a quarterback this year, so right. That's going to be up for trade. Yep. So do you really want to be sitting there, and I don't know what pick you're going to have, and say, well, we got nothing to trade up for a quarterback with the Cardinals because, you know what, we gave up our number five overall pick or our number six overall pick. So we're stuck with Trent Williams. We might have been in business to move up to that number two spot to get a Herbert or Fromm or whoever, you know, that you could get. But we can't do it anymore because we got a 32-year-old left tackle that we gave $100 million to.
You know, it's an interesting conversation, and I'm not sure that there's a right or wrong answer because...
Well, where are you at?
Well, I'm going to tell you this.
Well, tell
like,
me.
Like, when you talk about this, these premium draft picks, look, and Cecil sort of touched on this, and Mike Evans did the same thing, you look at what the Broncos have done with their premium draft picks. That you look at what the Broncos have done. You look at the first round history. You look at Paxton Lynch, Garrett Bowles, Shane Ray, Bradley Roby. You look at their second round picks, maybe even worse. So what Mike was trying to frame in the morning is that because you haven't been able to figure out much of anything, now save the last two classes, the jury's still out, we believe that they're going to be good. Because you haven't been able to figure out anything with those premium picks over the last 5-6 years, and you believe, Stoke, that they're going to be win now in 2 or 3 years, with that sort of framework, Trent Williams would still be in his prime during that time at a position you haven't been able to solve.
Prime so, at 34?
I mean, Andrew Whitworth's still playing pretty good, and he's 30,
that you're going to be overpaying for. And also, wait, real quick. All those guys that you named, Bradley Roby, Paxton Lynch, Shane Ray, those are all late first-round picks. Those are all late first, 20-plus first-round picks. I'm talking about a premium top 10.
Well, the Garrett Bowles pick was a premium pick because no offensive tackle was off the board. And
it's still number 20. And it's still number 20. There's a reason why, you know, that offensive tackle didn't go or offensive lineman didn't go to 20. It was a down class.
And that is the conversation that was missed yesterday afternoon when they talked about that pick is leading up to that 17 class was, the word was, and I forget who said it, this may be the worst tackle class in 20 years. That class. Now, Ryan Ramczyk may change that, but let me just finish my thought here. All that being said, I still have a tendency to lean with Stokely, not because I have to sit 4 feet away from him for 3 hours a day,
right?
But the draft is the lifeblood of your franchise, and it has gotten better here as of late. Despite all the misses, it has trended in the right direction. I think it'd be gambling a little bit too much, but here's what I do know. That Garrett Bowles' experiment is about to be over. Now, he may show incremental improvement, but if you put my head in a vice grip and said we're going to squeeze it if you don't answer this question the right way, is Garrett Bowles a starting left tackle week one next year for the Broncos? I can't see it.
No, it's absolutely no. And that's the one thing that's most upsetting or depressing about this whole conversation. You're wasting time. You wasted time not playing Paxton Lynch, sitting there going, maybe when he's ready, and pushing it off until you just were, you know,
Trev's
publicly
back.
Embarrassed. Like, he can't make it in. Like, with Garrett Bowles, you're now wasting further time that you could have. You're going to have Trent Williams
right now. We got nobody
else, though.
We got nobody else.
I know, and that's why, like, they wanted to replace him last year. So you've already known about this. Eli Wilkinson now has to play right tackle, unfortunately. And, oh, yeah, Ron Leary, God bless him, love the guy, but he's a ticking time bomb. in terms of when's he going to get hurt. It's not if, it's when. We know it's going to happen. I want him to stay healthy forever, but that's just not the God's honest truth of what will likely happen with this veteran right guard.
I could see game one next year. First of all, I feel terrible that we're even having this conversation after one freaking week of football, because there's so much left that is unknown about this team. But I'll say this, I would not be shocked at all if week one next year, Juwan James is your left tackle or Dalton Risner is your left tackle and Eli Wilkinson's on the other side playing right tackle. That would not shock me in the slightest. But just to shift gears on that just for a second, and Cecil Lammy dropping by here on Stokely and Zach, your thoughts heading into this weekend. The Broncos have a big opportunity at home to knock off the Bears team
right.
that did not look sharp this past week against Green Bay. They had an opportunity to get back to 1-1 and change the nature of this whole tone and tenor conversation.
Yeah, and the defense needs to lead the way. You get that feeling there from the locker room and just the vibe around the team. It's like the offense is going to do their thing, and no disrespect to them, but the defense has to lead the way because you had a Bears team that, what'd they run the ball, 11 times with their two running backs, with Mike Davis and David Montgomery, who I've talked to Matt Nagy yesterday about, and he's like, yeah, we got to figure it out. Yeah, what if they figure it out like Josh Jacobs did? Because Jacobs was held to less than 4 yards per carry, but he had a good game.
Right.
And the Broncos defense struggled as the game went on because Jacobs wore you down. This is going to be a trench fight. This is going to be a knockdown, drag out, knocked out.
Old school.
Slobber knocker. You better be ready to be the bully. So if you're the Broncos offense, be the bully. Run the ball. Rich Scangarello, three things. No more weird formations and trick plays. You don't have to be Mike McCoy. Don't have to pretend you're the smartest guy in the room. Don't do that. Use Emmanuel Sanders earlier, please. And then finally, let's see Philip Lindsay more as a receiver. So if you do that against the Bears, there are ways to attack this team. You have the weapons to do that. But there better be a lot of Freeman and a lot of Lindsay on Sunday if you want to win.
Yeah, and it's okay to punt the football. If you're the offense, it's okay to punt the football. I mean, this game, yeah, it's on the defense. But this season, if the Broncos want to be successful, it's on the defense to carry this football team. It's just the way it is. You got to play a lot better than you did Monday night against Oakland. You got to be more consistent. You got to get off the field on third down. You can't let them run the ball right down your throat. And so this whole season, if the Broncos want to be successful, is on this defense to step up and play great. Not just like good, solid. No, they got to play great. They got to make impactful plays. We need to see some turnovers. We need to see some three and outs. Don't let them control the game, and that's what the Raiders did. So certainly this week, going up against a defense like the Bears, there's going to be some struggles offensively with the Broncos offense. Defensively, you got to play your tail off, and you got to make some big plays, some impactful plays. Got to see some turnovers.
Six, right?
Yeah.
How about a pick six?
Got to see some turnovers.
We bang on Isaac Yiadom for getting picked on, and he was. But Derek Carr also made some phenomenal throws.
Sure.
Because Mitchell Trubisky can't do that. I've asked people around that team, is he any good? Because every time I watch Mitchell Trubisky, I see like three plays that are pretty good and then 20 plays that are god-awful. And why Matt Nagy thought throwing 45 times against the Packers would work, if Nagy figures it out and be like, I got to kind of hide Mitchell Trubisky and they run the ball more against Denver, they could come in here and win. Now, 10-3, 10-7, whatever it is, like you don't have that level of quarterback. Not saying Derek Carr is the greatest ever, but Mitchell Trubisky's not. Can't make those type of throws.
And let me piggyback on that, Cecil. Like, we're just talking about your sentiment about Rich Scangarello has been what mine has been. Don't try to be the smartest guy in the room. I understand we're going to try some stuff that's out of the box. Okay, but let's not be arrogant with our play calling. Matt Nagy, if you're Matt Nagy and you're doing sports talk radio in Chicago this week, you're in a one-score game for 60 consecutive minutes, and you're right. Stoke, I didn't realize it until Cecil said it. Trubisky threw the football 45 times.
And they didn't run the ball.
And they had, how about this for a stat or a statement? The Chicago Bears had one more rushing yard than Mitchell Trubisky had passes attempted. Think about that. 46 total rushing yards, 45 passing attempts in a one-score game. If that happened with Rich Scangarello,
right. We'd
be losing our you-know-what.
And that's exactly right. That's from Matt Nagy. You know, supposed to be this offensive whiz, London to Andy Reid. And, you know, we saw the disaster of his last football game there in Kansas City against the Titans, the debacle of that playoff game and the epic blown lead that they had in that game. And then last year he takes over and all of a sudden, you know, he's kind of framed as this offensive minded, great offensive minded guy. And he's still, and he might be one of those types of offensive guys. I don't know. I'm still holding out judgment on him, but he still falls into that trap of, you know, Mitch Trubisky is this veteran, great leader, this great quarterback in the making. I'm going to just drop back and let him win the football game. No, you got caught up in the moment and you got away from the running game. You forgot your identity of your football team, and that's the defense. It's not the offense, Matt Nagy. It's not you. And so even a veteran play caller like him can do that. And he certainly did that, and he did a bad job, and he let his whole football team down. In a one-score game, the whole game, you're going to throw the ball that many times with Mitch Trubisky?
It's crazy. It really is. It really is crazy. And I'm sure, and like I said, I'm sure those conversations are being had in Chicago. Cecil, yesterday I said I believe that if the Broncos score 19 points, they'll win the game. Sandy Clough disagreed with me. He put the number higher. Orlando Franklin agreed with me. Stoke, I forgot what you said yesterday.
Oh, I agree. If they score 19 and they don't win, barring, you know, a couple pick sixes or special teams turnovers, shame on this defense. Shame on this defense. You get to 19 and your football team doesn't beat the Bears, then that's on the defense.
What are your thoughts about that point total of the threshold that I believe that they need to
hit? I'd put it lower. I'd put it at 17. Like, this truly is going to be that type of game. And we have a blueprint because we have the Packers. And the Packers have made a lot of moves defensively to rejuvenate that side of the ball.
Yeah.
And then Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers, they'll figure it out. Eventually, Rodgers will start doing his own thing. That's what will happen. But Green Bay's a really good defense. And right now, we can't say the Broncos are elite defensively anymore based on what we saw. Now, everybody's got to be healthy. And if Callahan's healthy and Todd Davis back out there at practice, as I just came from Dove Valley, like, it was good to see Todd Davis out there. Don't know about his status yet. Still, you know, questionable.
Did you get to see him running around out there?
I got to see his movement, yeah. And I talked to Todd yesterday, uh-huh. And he said that in an emergency, he could have played last week. Players are always going to say that, you know,
right.
Stoke. I'm great. I'm fine. And maybe not really fine, but we're getting close to the return of Todd Davis, which should help because we're also getting close to the return of Trey Burton for the Bears.
Right, right.
And if Trey Burton's out there, I mean, Darren Waller, nobody knew much about him. Not a lot of film on him. He had 7 for 70 against you. So this week I put the number at 17.
Get to 17,
you win.
And I want to ask you why we got you here about what you've seen in practice. A lot of talk about Deshaun Hamilton. They brought back River Craycraft, Juwan Winfrey. Do you think it's time to make that move and give Deshaun Hamilton to take a step back and give somebody else that opportunity?
Well, and I don't mean to be in panic mode, but I've suggested it's time to bench Deshaun Hamilton because we've seen in training camp all of these drops. Like, this isn't new. This is new for him because he had really good hands at Penn State and he was solid and tough last year. I like Deshaun Hamilton. But it's a results-based business. And in training camp, there have been way too many drops from Deshaun. A drop touchdown in this game, like, that can't have that. I just go to practice every day and see Juwan Winfrey make him play after play. Now, he's not going to play special teams. You know, that's one of the reasons why he's a healthy scratch. But with Juwan Winfrey, maybe if he's your third guy, you'd have a more dangerous offense. I think maybe the answer would be yes. And then in the return game, that's where Hamilton can make his biggest impact. Because just watching Spencer, Craycraft and Hamilton just today in practice, I thought Hamilton did the best of that trio.
The one and the only Cecil Lammy stopping by Stoke and Zach was listening to the Fantasy Show last night when out to dinner, was on my way home, was listening. Awesome stuff. Phone lines jammed and you run through.
It's so
awesome.
Much fun. I love listening to it. After practice, I'd in the car, I'm always listening to it, and me and my son are always listening to it. I got my fantasy team now. We got our thing going on now, and I'm asking Cecil all the questions before he comes on. Me and you battling this week, Zach.
Can't wait.
Ooh,
can't wait.
Wow. I already kicked down D-Mac. Now you're next.
We got a little steak dinner on this or what?
Maybe not steak. Maybe a little
we'll
bit less
something.
Than that. I don't feel that confident in my team.
We'll put something on. Have a good day, dude.
Thanks, Cecil.
All right, great stuff. We'll do it again tomorrow. We're live from Blake Street Tavern. We'll play our game day fill-in-the-blank. It is going to be awesome. We're inching closer to game number two against the Bears. Cannot wait. We got the drive coming up next.
Oh. You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC. First
Bank. Banking for good.